Hi, and thanks so much for coming to Building Mozilla Web Things. In owning home automation via HTTP, in HTTP, of course, I imply HTTPS as well as a couple of other standards that I will come to. But first, I have this issue of, this is a CO2 meter. Like it monitors the level of CO2 in the room, but it has this cable, and the manufacturer only said it's for the power. But I thought like, okay, this connects to USB. Why would it only be for power? I tried it out on my computer, and actually, it returned the values displayed on the screen, also via the USB cable. But what to do with that? I want to use that for automation. For example, to send myself a message of you should open the window. There's the air is bad in the room. So I'm already using the Mozilla Web Things, and there I have a couple of other adapters. For example, the email adapter that I was talking about where that I would use that for sending myself the notification. The gateway, Mozilla IoT gateway, is running on a Raspberry Pi. And I can control that with any web browser. So from my laptop, from my phone. And there I wanted to learn from other adapters, how are they using that, and how can I make this USB device work with the gateway. So the gateway is using existing protocols to control things, to make them interoperable. It's using the IP stack with HTTP, HTTPS, WebSockets, if you need both ways for communicating. For example, a light switch is on. You want that to be transmitted immediately, but for example, this one would not have any user like placing an HTTP call, so it should update that via WebSocket. Semantic web, meaning we have some association with this thing. What does it do? It measures CO2. There's a unit associated to that. OAuth for authentication, REST API. And it also says, hey, I'm doing web things over here. I'm doing the web of things API for DNS service discovery. That pretty much works like like a printer announces itself on the local network. If you have devices listening, like controllers listening for that, they will also know that there are web of things in your local network. So it's not a replacement for any of the existing standards when it comes to like Zigbee or Wi-Fi. Those will still be there. It's kind of this layer between the cloud. If you need any cloud services, for example, your Raspberry Pi or your local home cannot measure the weather, so you will still need some cloud. But you can abstract all of these services to only need, only request the information from the internet that you actually need. And everything else will be working within your local network and connecting the different standards of Zigbee, Bluetooth, that, for example, your phone cannot speak, but with a dongle, you can make the Raspberry Pi speak Zigbee. How does a thing look like on more technical levels? We can request that over the local network. Uses authorization to make sure you're authorized to ask for this. And what you will get back is a web thing manifest. In there, you must declare properties, actions, and events. What does that mean? That will look like this in the interface. This is a color lamp. It has three properties and one central element in the middle connecting all of these. Looking closer at, for example, color or the power, it must have a JSON schema type. So that could be integer, number, string. You could also put errors in there. It kind of depends on, does your interface support these types already? And then a semantic type. That's more, what does it actually do? Instantaneous power property is, for example, the one used here for the power. If I turn on the lamp, it will rise to show me a number in watts of how much power that is currently using. So I would probably be looking for something like CO2 concentration for this one. You notice that some of these are inputs. For example, for the color lamp, I can control the color. The power I cannot control, that's read-only. For the entire thing has a similar description of also an add type making some semantic connections. It's an array of strings that can contain multiple things. So for example, my light is not only a light, but also color control. Types that were defined by the Mozilla IoT project are door sensor, temperature sensor, there are lots more. If you find something that's not defined, you can look at other definitions. It works pretty much like HTML or XML, where you can define as many contexts as you would like, as many schemas. So the CO2 was not in the Mozilla schema, so I took that from somewhere else where a project had already defined CO2 concentration. Actions and events. This light doesn't directly have these, but for lights it's common to have fade. To have an action that takes a certain time, not only a property that you can put a value into and it will immediately change, but for example, fading over 2 minutes or so, that would be then an action. With, again, a couple of properties or events, if the light wants to tell you something, for example, that it's overheated. To give you an example of what this will look like when you query it from the API. We have, again, the context of where are we getting these add types from. The add type, an ID, name, description, properties. That's how it will look like. And if you have multiple things, they can be all in one interface next to each other. You can use them, combine them with rules. So, for example, one rule that I have is lights in the morning. If the time of the day is 8:30 and daytime is not weekend, then set the bedroom on/off to true. How did I configure this? There's an interface for this where I can drag and drop these individual things that I have and can select what properties or what events do I want to react to. I can combine multiple things because the time of day doesn't have the information of what day of the week is it. So I dragged in another thing that will tell me this and then in combination turns the light on. Benefits of a gateway, for example, are these rules of automation. The privacy of your own home, it's running on your Raspberry Pi. You can give different people different access, can have local authorization codes that will only be able to access certain things in your home. Bridging protocols, interfaces, that's then for ZigBee or for USB, serial connection, if you want to use the serial, the GPIO code, adapters on the Raspberry Pi. Remote access, so this is optional, but if you want to control your things worldwide, the Mozilla IoT Gateway will have a dynamic DNS entry from mozilla-iot.org and from Let's Encrypt a certificate locally on the Raspberry Pi that will query there to make sure it's all encrypted via HTTPS. logging. It can draw you a graph of power consumption or, for example, over temperature, if you have sensors for that. And then one configuration hub for your devices. So it has an interface of you can put in a couple of configurations. For example, I would configure my email thing to know the login information of my email. This is the email sender. That's the add-on. So if I go into configure, that's what the configuration would look like. This is what you can also build for your adapter. If you're building an adapter, you can specify this as a JSON schema of these are the types I'm expecting. This is a required field. This is a required field. What type, what format, minimum, maximum value, everything you get from JSON schema. I didn't need this because this is just one device, so I haven't put in any configuration. So I actually got it working where it's reading these values and putting them in the interface. This is what I meant with logging, so you can see it over the hour. This is where I opened the window off. Yeah, air is bad in here. Let's open some windows. It's available for an hour or for days. This is in combination with the temperature below. By the way, you'll notice that it's pretty thin. This is a screenshot taken from the phone. So it has an app-like behavior with a PWA, like a progressive web app. So you can make it look like an app on your phone. Six lessons learned that I wish I had known before I started developing an adapter, or this adapter for the Mozilla IoT Gateway. The first one, automate pushing your code to the Raspberry Pi. So you can run it in Docker, the gateway, but it's best on your Raspberry Pi, especially if you have some USB device that you want to hook up to it. And so you need to push code a lot, and every time you update your adapter, you also have to restart the gateway service. Not like don't unplug and plug in the Raspberry Pi, but it's a systemd service that you will need to restart every time, and it's good to have a script for that. Second, there is a set cached value and notify function. That's for debugging. It will write every update into the log file. Don't use that in production because it will cause a lot of writes on the SD card. So there's also a set cache value. Access the logs via SSH. The gateway has a very convenient way of checking your local logs via the web interface. However, the access tokens are regenerated every time when you restart the gateway service. So to have a convenient way of getting these logs, you'll want to get them via SSH. You're probably connected anyway for pushing the code. A Git folder disables the checksum test. So in production, you will need to provide a SHA-256 sums file to verify this is your code. It hasn't been modified from when you shipped it. But a .git folder will disable this check, making it much easier, and you don't have to run the hashing algorithm on all of your node modules or whatever language you're using every time. Prepare for separate releases if you have architecture-dependent code. The gateway does, I guess, run primarily on a Raspberry Pi, but you can run it on any other architecture. And if you have some modules or if you're compiling code, you'll need to prepare for different releases. So prepare your release code for that ear. And the common license for add-ons is MPL, the Mozilla Public License 2.0. I'm just saying this because there's already a lot of code that you will likely want to copy-paste, most of it in this license. So if you picked another license, you at least I for the first an hour had chosen my preferred license, but then figured out, hey, most of this will be copy paste, and it will be much easier to share code if I'm using the same license as is common in this environment. That's it. If you have any further questions, please tell me or email me. The code is up there at chrpaul.de/fosdem2020. And also, I'm looking for an open source job.
Thank you, Christian. We have a few minutes for questions. Is anyone here in front?
That's not really a question because I'm already in touch with him. Just a few remarks about your listen to learn. Maybe it's not easy to automate, but you don't need to restart the gateway. You can just disable the add-on and press it again, but you have to do this manually. So if you want to automate, probably this can be done differently without restarting the gateway.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try that, yeah. Thanks.
And something here about adapters. I think it's a good... it's a real good challenge to get into the project because it's a community-based repository. There is about 100 adapters.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot.